As part two of my redesigned sabbatical this year, my pilgrimage went to the Adirondacks, where I climbed 5 of the 46 high peaks with my family. One of them was Big Slide Mountain, which reached 4,200 feet of elevation. We hiked the 7.6-mile out and back trail near Keene Valley, New York, with its elevation gains over 3 other mountains and rock scrambles that include sections too steep to climb without the ladders secured into the side of the mountain. The mountain is called Big Slide because that's what you'd do if you went over much of it. Slide down steep rock faces into dense forest below. The view at the top was worth the trip. Mountain ranges, cloud formations, forests of trees that went on for miles. What I remember most of all from the view was all the land that humans may never, ever touch. It wasn't a view to see where we could go next. I saw what we saw on that peak and admired about creation was what was there as it is, not what I wanted it to be. And in letting it be what it is, it spoke to me as what it is in and of itself, not simply what it would be for me. It reminded me of how much bigger this world truly is than my very limited viewpoint. Our scripture readings from Proverbs and the Gospel of John have guided my sabbatical journey this year for just that reason, to get a bigger view of the world and to broaden my faith, my own faith, and my own life. They've helped me explore a different perspective on faith than the one that I grew up in and the one that I was trained at seminary to teach and to preach. That prior viewpoint, starts with a God that is a being separate from this world, who swoops in at this time of year as a special human being in the form of a baby whose birth we celebrate, and then who then grows up and dies on a cross for our sins, is resurrected from the dead, and then goes back to some other place outside the cosmos. It's been a lot of God as other, distinct, separate, who has a special knowledge to impart, and who, quite frankly, doesn't seem to care as much about the creation he made as he does about helping us move beyond it. Somehow, this viewpoint has felt a lot less human, quite frankly, and more like a detached spirituality, separate from my body, or a faith that's just supposed to comfort me when I feel bad, or a view that helps me enter the next life, rather than guiding me to be at home in this world, to affirm this body, and to journey through this life with its ups and downs and discover God in the midst of it all. Over the past several years, and especially during my extended sabbatical, my pilgrimage of faith has shown me some new vistas and ways to understand God. In his book, The Universal Christ, Richard Rohr, the author, says that creation is both the hiding place and the revealing place of God. And it's the only place where we creatures can discover God. That piece of wisdom has helped me in my own faith journey to affirm this life, this body, this creation as the place to know God. Not some next life, not some other place, as if faith were some other worldly thing, but in this world, in this life, in this body, among you all. Creation is the hiding place and the revealing place of God. That wisdom shapes our theme for Advent, now in flesh appearing. God is revealed in and through real flesh and blood, cells and particles in the very midst of creation itself. So, pop quiz. Anybody know where the phrase now in flesh appearing comes from? who isn't a previous pastor of the church or on the worship committee. It's a Christmas carol, but which Christmas carol is it? Oh, come all ye faithful. I hear it. We sing it every year on Christmas Eve. And in the fourth verse, when Garrett plays the organ boldly and a trumpet is playing triumphantly and the sopranos sing the descant loudly and strongly, we sing, "Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord." What does it mean when we sing, "Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing"? And where is God now in flesh appearing? That's what we hope to discover this Advent season. Ways of understanding now in flesh appearing for our life in faith, not just for Christmas or Christmas past, but in the life we live and the ministry we share throughout the year. To do that, we have to go back to the beginning, not the beginning of Christianity or even Judaism. We have to go back to the beginning, even before the beginning. Before the beginning, Proverbs 8 tells us, the Lord created wisdom, the first of God's acts of long ago. It was with wisdom by God's side, like a master worker, that God established the heavens, made firm the skies above, established the fountains of the deep, assigned to the sea its limits. That's what the author of Proverbs saw when he looked at creation, a deeper wisdom in how it all was designed and works, the place of things, the function of creation's parts, the way it all worked together was trying to tell us something about God and the wisdom that guided creation's design. And if we paid attention to creation, we'd see that wisdom in the world's design. And we discover how that wisdom is trying to reveal to us a way of life that really is life. The writer of the Gospel of John was looking for a different way to look at the world after the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. For him, the world got bigger after Jesus. It didn't shrink down to one baby in a manger, or shepherds in a field, or magi following a star. Jesus had opened up his view of how much God so loved this world. He wanted a big view of everything, like the kind of view you get on the top of a mountain, or the kind of view you see in the vast sky at night with stars dotting the darkness, like one from the very beginning, so that we might live wholeheartedly in this life. That's why we don't read in John about expectant parents journeying to Bethlehem, or shepherds and angels in a field, or wise men reading the stars. There's not even a baby lying in a manger. But it does say, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This was the beginning of a song John had learned and shares in the first five verses of our reading. And it helped him imagine who Jesus was in the beginning and how the world came into being and how it continues to exist. Before there was Jesus, there was the Word of God, the wisdom of God, as Proverbs 8 says it. In fact, when the earliest followers of Jesus went back and read their Hebrew scriptures, they understood that the wisdom that was with God in the beginning was the one who became the Jesus they knew and loved here on earth. And at the end of our lesson from John, we read that it is God's Son, the Word, who is close to the Father's heart, like wisdom was as a delight to God. The Greek here literally means that the Son was resting his head against God's chest. This Word made flesh, who became one of us, was so intimately connected to God, so close to God, that it was like he had his head against the chest of God, listening to God's own heartbeat. All things came into being through that Word made flesh. And without Him, not one thing came into being. Everything was made of the substance of the Word, and everything depended for its existence on that Word. All of creation, you and me, the mountains and trees and the Adirondacks, the sand on the beaches, the stars in the skies, the air we breathe, and all the rest, everything was made from the substance of God. Everything then could become the hiding place and the revealing place of God. In her book, Reading John for Dear Life, A Spiritual Walk Through the Fourth Gospel, New Testament professor Jamie Clark Soules writes, "The fact that the Word helped to create all that exists reminds us that we should take a look around us at everything in the world and see how the created order might connect us to God and teach us something about what abundant life really looks like. Clearly, abundant life isn't primarily about the length of our days, but rather the quality of our lives. It's about living a certain kind of life for however long that life may last. You see, what has come into being in the Word was life, and the life was the light of all people. John is interested in creation and how it speaks the wisdom of the Word of God. He's interested so that we might, as Clark Soules goes on to say, understand a brief litmus test for what is Christian and what isn't. If it's life-giving, if it promotes the flourishing of all creation, then it's Christian. If it's death-dealing, it may be real, but it's not ultimate, and it's certainly not Christian. That's why John can say, from God's fullness, from who God is, that's what we've received. Grace upon grace." Now, I'll be the first to say to you this morning that this may not sound much like an Advent sermon today at all. I'm not talking about the traditional stuff that goes into Advent sermons, like angels and John the Baptist and Mary and Joseph. But quite frankly, neither is John, except for one shout out to John the Baptist who testifies to the light. Instead, he wants us to look at creation. He wants us to look into creation and see the substance and the presence of God there. He wants us to look at each other and see how God is being revealed and how we are becoming children of God. Because as John tells it, it's too easy to miss it. In fact, when God showed up in flesh, in the very substance of God that we are, in the form of Jesus, 2,000 years ago, when God showed up then, we're told that the world didn't recognize Him. He was in the world, and the world came into being through Him, yet the world didn't know Him. And what's more, when He came to what was His own people didn't accept Him. The real danger of the Advent and Christmas season from this big picture perspective is that we look at the image on our bulletin today, that familiar image of the baby in the manger, and we relegate it to a story of the past. That we too miss the presence of God now appearing in flesh among us and in this world God loves. John wants us to see the Word is now in flesh appearing today in creation, today in our bodies, today among us. That's why we're invited to read the Gospel of John, to see how the life and light of God are being revealed today, because that's where we'll find hope. It isn't in some superhero God who swoops in to save us. It isn't meant to be in some otherworldly place that only a few have access to. The good news of our faith is that hope is being revealed in the wisdom of creation for all to see. Hope is being revealed in every life that is honored and cherished. Hope is being revealed when we stand by and advocate for those places and people where light and life are being threatened with extinction. Hope is made real when it appears in our flesh as a gift to us, for our community, and for all of creation. And when we see it, we don't simply celebrate some historical event. We too become part of the good news that is being revealed in creation and now in our flesh is appearing. May it be so. Amen.